My name is Anna Kostykina. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to be talking about interorganizational networks in rural smoke-free policy development in Kentucky. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators. It's Dr. Ellen Hahn and Dr. Mary Kay Rains over at the University of Kentucky College of Nursing Tobacco Policy Research Program. The project that I'm going to talk about was funded by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and the PI for that project is Dr. Ellen Hahn. The major objective of my study was to examine interorganizational partnerships related to smoke-free policy development over time in 40 rural communities in Kentucky. Just a little bit of background. As you probably know, over half of the U.S. population still remains unprotected from secondhand smoke at work and in public places. And exposure to secondhand smoke causes cancer, heart disease, respiratory illness, and other diseases. Although rural communities are disproportionately affected by the tobacco epidemic, they're less likely than urban areas to enact smoke-free legislation. Tobacco control programs can be seen as a complex network of individuals, groups, and organizations. And while the importance of collaboration within tobacco control networks is widely recognized, how these programs structured has not been extensively studied, and social network analysis can be an effective method for assessing these collaborations. So what is social network analysis? It can be defined as a set of research methods for identifying patterns of structures within systems between different components of these systems. And a social network is formally defined as a set of nodes or agents that are tied by one or more relations or links to each other. So in this little illustration, you can see the different nodes tied together by different connections or ties. There is a variety of social network measures, the ones that I'm going to talk about in this talk, density. The first one is density measure, and it is basically the number of links in the network over the number of all possible links that can exist in the network. It is a network level statistic, and in this illustration, the network on the left has lower density than a network on the right. The second measure that was used was degree centrality. It is a pretty basic measure. It is a number of links that lead into and out of the node, and it is a node level attribute. So in this illustration, for example, node A has lower degree centrality than node B. The data that I'm going to talk about was drawn from the Rural Smoke-Free Communities Project. It was a five-year randomized control trial launched in 2007 to test the effects of a stage-based tailored community-based intervention on community readiness and policy outcomes in terms of tobacco control. One of the intervention goals was to build capacity for smoke-free laws by strengthening partnerships with various types of local organizations and state organizations in Kentucky. Treatment counties received extensive technical assistance and guidance and support in terms of establishing partnerships with various organizations that could provide them resources to move the policy forward. So our research questions were, did interorganizational network density increase over time for partnerships and resource sharing in treatment versus in control communities? And which organizations were central in the networks? And how did decreased centrality change over time within treatment and control networks? as I've mentioned, this was a secondary data analysis. The data were collected at five time points beginning in 2007 using telephone interviews. The coalition members from 40 rural counties in Kentucky were interviewed. So of these 40 counties, 22 were treatment, meaning the ones that received technical assistance in establishing partnerships with local organizations. Eight counties were control, so the data were collected at all five points from these counties, and the second control group, for the second control group, the data were collected only at time five. The coalition members were asked about 29 potential organizational partners, and the examples of these partners would be like local schools, American Lung Association, and so forth. They were asked whether they have contacted these organizations. So have you contacted American Lung Association, for example, yes or no? And they were also asked to rate the level of resources, funding, and personnel provided by each organization on a scale from 1 to 5. And since multiple coalition members were interviewed from each county, their responses were averaged by coalition so that the county was the unit of analysis. For data analysis, we used bootstrap paired sample t-test to assess whether there was change in network density over time. We used repeated measures ANOVA to test whether the intervention was effective in producing greater change in degree centrality in treatment counties compared to control, and we used NetDraw to produce the visual representations of the networks. So here is a visual representation of the network for 22 treatment counties. The counties are correspond to red circles, and the potential partners are blue squares. The size of the node corresponds to degree centrality of the meaning the connectedness of organizations. Here we only show strong ties. The weak ties are hidden, meaning the ties that are less than 4 on a scale from 1 to 5 are hidden. And in the upper left-hand corner, you can see a list of isolates. These are organizations or individual partners that did not have any strong ties to any of the coalitions. And in first year, these were civic organizations, business groups, minority groups, manufacturing facilities, school districts, and so forth. And you can see that local health departments, regional prevention center, and local ASF boards occupied a central role. So this is the same network at time two. There were fewer isolates at time two. At year three, year four, and year five. So at year five of the project, the only organizations that did not have strong ties with the coalitions were civic organizations, minority groups, and gay, lesbian, bisexuals, transgender organizations. And local boards of health, local ASAP boards, and local health departments consistently occupied played a central role in these networks. So these are the density scores for all years for both treatment and control conditions. As you can see, there was an increase in network density from year one to year five in the treatment networks. Although there was an initial increase in the control networks for in the first control group, it went down by year five. There was an increase in resource sharing for the treatment groups as well. And the t-test showed that change in density was significant for partnership contexts. However, although there was an increase in resource sharing, it was not statistically significant. In terms of degree centrality, the repeated measures ANOVA model with partnership contexts as the outcome was significant, and the mean for degree centrality was higher in years four, in years two, three, and four and five compared to year one. However, there was no significant main effect for group and group by time interaction. So here you can see degree centrality scores from year one to year five. As you can see, there was a decrease in year five in both treatment, which a green line represents the scores for the treatment community, and in the control communities. And this may be due to the fact that the statewide initiative was launched in year five in Kentucky pass legislation on the state level, and this could have slowed down the amount of activity on local level. So in summary, the density scores were high over time for partnership contacts and resource sharing in the treatment, but not in the control groups. Average degree centrality increased over time for partnership contacts in the treatment group, but not in the control group. The lead agencies were health departments, boards of health, local ASAP boards, and state tobacco program. Over time, more faith-based organizations, business organizations, schools, and private physicians, as well as manufacturing facilities, were included in the networks. So this study has several limitations. This was a secondary data analysis. The network boundaries could be considered arbitrary because the list of organizations was predetermined by the research group. So coalitions could have contacted other organizations that we didn't ask them about. Representatives of partner organizations were not interviewed. Also, participants were asked to recall their whether they contacted the organizations over the past year, so they could have, there could have been a recall bias. Also, some of the findings may be attributable to other tobacco control efforts in on the state or county levels. So network analysis may be an effective method for tracking change in collaboration between organizations over time, and longitudinal network analysis may be used as a possible indicator of improvements in community capacity and readiness for change in rural communities. However, it would be useful to document associations between network measures and actual policy changes or health outcomes. This is it for my presentation. Thank you so much.